As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And I take your calls for the next 50 minutes or so. 888-808-1019. The Yankees won last night. The Mets won last night. And the Yankees have won 5 in a row. And the Mets now have bounced back from losing in Minnesota to take the first 2 at Citi Field. They're 7-1 at Citi Field. Lindor with the walk-off. Just got tagged in a video from SNY Mets an hour ago. Scenes at Citi. You know, once that homer hit, fans running on top of the dugout and people throwing stuff in the air. And it's just a party, man. That's why I said I could feel it in the air. New York is ready. Both sides of town, the Yankees and the Mets, Citi Field and Yankee Stadium. It's going to be a great spring and summer. And a lot of that energy you saw in Citi Field is going to be in Madison Square Garden tonight. In my live chat, shout out to Nicholas P., who pointed out the Pistons are getting 7 points. So I haven't really looked at the odds. I think I might look tomorrow if I want to put a parlay or something together. But now I'm looking at them. You know, the Knicks are favored by 7 points in this game. And that's the largest spread of the first round games tomorrow night. The Bucks and Pacers, the Pacers are -5.5. The Clippers and Nuggets, the Nuggets are -2.5. The Timberwolves and Lakers, the Lakers are -4. So, you know, they're expecting the Knicks -7. They're expecting the Knicks to cover 7 points. They're expecting the Knicks to beat these guys. And, like, when you look at the playoff series, you look at series betting, the Pistons are +333 to win the series. So what does that tell you? People are talking about the Pistons winning, but Vegas is expecting the Knicks to win. I think they have the better team, the better coach, home court advantage, all of that good stuff. So back to the phones we go, talking about the Yankees, the Mets, the Knicks, whatever you guys want to do for this last less than an hour. I might sneak in a little commentary on the New Jersey Devils and their first round matchup with the Hurricanes. Not feeling too confident about it, but yeah, let's get to you. Rich in South Orange, you got it. You're up next.
Thanks, Keith, for taking my call. I just have 3 points. Number one, as a Yankee fan, I want to commend you on what I believe you have been towards the Mets. I believe you've been objective and fair, and I don't want you to feel like a homer because I'm a Yankee fan. My first game was in April of 65. And I think you've been really good. You know, I'm a New York fan. So I think your observations about the Mets have been good.
Thank you.
Second point. I want you to know that I appreciate it when you have callers call in, that you give them time to converse, because some of the other hosts they seem to cut me off after one sentence, and I appreciate that about you. And my last point is, I'm a Yankee fan again, and I think I have a suggestion towards the lineup. What I'd like to see, I'd like to see Goldschmidt leading off. I'd like to see Dominguez switch hitter bat in second, Judge third, and Rice fourth. And you let me know what you think. Have a good night.
Thanks for the call, Richard, and the compliments. Let's go backwards. So I don't expect them to put Jason Dominguez that high in the lineup. There was conversation in the beginning of the year about potentially leading him off, but he's a whole rookie, a young guy that they are trying to protect, and they've gotten a little bit out of him. Lower in the lineup, he's a threat lower in the lineup with his speed, with his power. I don't expect to see them change what they have. The first three that they have, however they, you know, stack it, whether it's Ben Rice, Paul Goldschmidt, Judge, or even like today where they went Rice, Judge, Belly, Goldschmidt, it's tough for any pitcher. We saw them go Rice, Goldie, Judge. We saw them go Goldie, Rice, Judge. I think those are fine. Jason Dominguez has to do a little bit more before he moves that many spots up the lineup, in my opinion. Volpe is struggling right now, and I think about how in his first couple years, they moved him around, and they've learned they're not doing that now. They're leaving him there. And if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Like, today was a down day as far as the Yankees only having 5 hits, 1 run, but they'll bounce back tomorrow. I don't really think we need to move anything with the lineup for the most part. Jazz is going to end up, you know, appealing his suspension, but I don't know when he's going to get suspended. He's been struggling right now. He's hitting 160. I think, you know, they could stand to move him down in the lineup. Like, if you were going to move Dominguez, it's not to the two spot. It would be to, like, 5 or 6 or 7. Maybe even put Grisham a little higher. Going back to what you said about the calls, the daytime is different than the nighttime. And, you know, I listen all day like you guys do, too. And I feel like they're rushed, they're hurried in the daytime. And again, going back to what I was saying about being a solo host, I'm not bouncing off of anybody else like in here. I have the freedom to talk about what I want. I have as much run as I need, and then I go to the phone and I give you guys your run as well, because you're calling and you're waiting and I see you there and you're up in the middle of the night and you want to be on the fan. And like, I know when I was younger, a couple times I tried to call a fan, I never got on. And it's like, if you get the opportunity to do that, it's exciting and everybody can hear you. And I'm not going to be the guy to rush you off. I don't think I'm better than you. I don't think I know anything more than you. It's a back and forth. But as far as the daytime, the amount of ads and breaks, as well as just airspace for two hosts, yeah, that's why they might cut you off or rush you. And I know I laugh because I'm like, well, damn, they're always trying to like get you guys to your points. Like, yo, get to it. And that's just, I think that's just historically how it's always been. And I've come in with the approach from the very jump. Like, I'm not rushing anybody off unless you just completely like stumbling over your words, or you're trolling, or you're saying something that doesn't make any sense, or you've got like, you know, bad feedback and a bad signal. And, you know, the first thing you said about being objective and being fair with the Mets, man, I've tried to express this 100 times, and now I just am at the point where, like, it doesn't matter what I say or do. I am such a troll online, and I have such an internet presence and online persona as, like, a Mets hater that is good for me online. What I've learned online and on the internet is negativity moves way more than positivity. You know the phrase, you get more bees with honey than vinegar? That doesn't apply online. You get more bees with vinegar than honey online. Like, the jokes and the trolling and the mocking and the needling and the negativity works online. And online, I'm very much a Yankee fan and not a Mets fan. And some people get that twisted with the radio. There's times online where I tell people, like, is this a radio or is this the internet? And I know I've been that way on the radio too, you know, but I think that's more in the off season. And what I've said is, once we get into the baseball season, I'm watching the games. There's nothing to troll. I'm watching the games. There's nothing to not be objective about or be fair about. Like, it's New York. Just like, I'm not a Knicks fan. But I'm not going to be a Knicks hater because I'm a Nets fan and be like, Pistons in four. Like, that doesn't make for a good show. On a night like to this, on a night like tonight, and on a day like this, why would I come in here and like have an angle of like the Mets, what the Mets did and what Citi Field looked like was amazing. And even if I, you know, don't like the Mets, and it's not even I don't like the Mets. There's a whole drop that Paulie saved. Like, I don't hate the Mets. These are my Mets. And what that means is I don't like you think I hate Francisco Lindor? Hell no, he's one of the best players in the league. He's fun to watch. The Mets have a lot of players I like. Juan Soto, Pete Alonso, Mark Vientos, Luis Angel Acuña. They have pitchers that I'm looking at that I'm impressed with. I don't hate the Mets. These are my Mets. I've never watched more Mets baseball in my life than I have in this last four seasons of being on the fan. I know more about this version of the Mets than any other version in the past. I don't know Mets history like that. I wasn't following those Mets teams growing up. But, you know, I get so much heat from Mets fans, I got to kind of return serve online a little bit. So if anything, there's a pocket of Mets fans that I don't like. It's not the Mets, and it's not all Mets fans. You can't lump in all Mets fans, just like you can't lump in all Yankee fans. There's a lot of Yankee fans that I certainly don't claim. There's certain Mets fans, like, or you know, the Yankee fans that reached over and grabbed Mookie Betts' glove and did that last year. I saw Yankee fans celebrating them. I'm like, no. Those guys need to learn how to act in the stadium. Like, that's not cool. Anyway, you know, it's the same on both sides. Citi Field the first weekend, they're throwing garbage on the field. Nobody should be doing that. They're running on the field. Nobody should be doing that. A couple nights ago, if you booed Juan Soto, I don't know if you really know what you're watching. I think you're like confused. And I've been in Yankee Stadium when there's boo birds, and I'm like, what are you guys booing for? Do you understand how hard it is to hit that baseball? Do you understand you're booing a guy that is one of the like best people to hit that? Like, you're booing Aaron Judge because he struck out four times. Like, we need that guy. Can't be doing that. But yeah, if I had to give one blanket statement, I was saying let the games begin. Once the games begin, I want to talk about the games. I don't care for the little brother, big brother. I don't care for all the back and forth and comparing and when we have this and you have that and you can't be this. And it, like, once the games start, you know, we can look at the Yankee game and see who pitched and who hit. We can look at the Met game and see who pitched and who hit. And then before you know it, it's dun-dun-dun-dun-dun, the show is over. In the offseason, it gives us more time to look at each other and criticize and joke and laugh and needle one another. And, you know, the whole Juan Soto sweepstakes, like the whole back and forth, who's big brother, little brother. But, like, if you're still doing that at this point, you're missing the baseball. This is a sports radio station. You're missing the, like, bread and butter. You're missing the, like, whole thing we're supposed to be doing if you're doing anything else but, like, talking about Lindor's walk-off homer, talking about David Peterson and Max Kranick and Ryan. Like, you know what I'm saying? I don't know. That's a long-winded answer, but that's pretty much answering all parts of that last call. Christian is in Phoenix on the Fan in New York. What's up, Christian?
Yo, Keith, what's up, my brother? How you doing?
Good. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I was hoping to catch you before you headed out. So still a little early out here on the West Coast, but great show tonight, man. Love the content, but I wanted to quote, just touch on two things. So the Knicks and the Mets. So I tagged you in a video on X. It was just like different scenes at Citi Field. And, you know, the Lindor home run was really cool, obviously, like, you know, hitting the upper deck. But, man, like that crowd, like the electricity, like I don't remember the last time in Citi Field, or I don't think I've been at a game where you see beer in the air, you see popcorn being thrown, or like, I know you were just talking about, you know, dumb trash in the field, but I mean, just in that moment, I mean, that just like, I don't know, it looked like something out of a
movie,
storybook. I mean, at least, yeah, it was absolutely insane. I was like, man, is this October? Like the night game, the chilly weather, it just felt very
Yeah, but that's why I was saying I can feel it in the air. And what I said was the Mets are restoring the feeling from last year. A walk-off homer from Lindor and the place going crazy like that, he flipped that place upside down. It brings you right back to where they were in the DS and the CS.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I got that October feel, like immediately, like just watching that and that video. I was like, I got to tag. I got to send this to Keith. He has to see this. But it was just one of those cool shots. And it's just fun, man, just to be in New York. I'm kind of jealous that I'm not out there right now. But just to be in New York, whether you're a Yankee fan or a Mets fan, I mean, what a time to be alive as a baseball fan. And I've always said this, baseball is the most human sport possible. You know, I love football, I love basketball, I watch a little bit of hockey, but I mean, there's nothing more human than the sport of baseball. Cause there's just so much that goes into it. And like you said the other night, you know, each night the ball could tip out the pitcher's hand a little differently. You know, the ball could bounce off the bat differently every night. You know, something different can happen. I think that's what makes this sport so beautiful. And, you know, people say baseball is dead, but no, nah, man,
hell no.
Like I really think it's making its resurgence and it's making a big statement just in sports in general. I mean, when you got people talking to you, like no one, I mean, my whole life, I travel anywhere outside the U.S. or anywhere outside of New York, you know, no one ever brings up the Mets, right? I wear a Mets hat to my local watering hole down here in Phoenix, and people are like, oh, like, how do you feel about Soto? Oh, like, yeah, Lindor had a great year. It's like, what? You talk about the Mets? Like, 2,500 miles away? Like, it's just crazy. So it's just good to see, you know, baseball's back. You know, baseball is back. And I'm here for it. I'm here for all games. So, but yeah, as far as Knicks are concerned, I don't know what to feel, man. I'm kind of torn. I don't know, man. I feel the Knicks will win this series. I'm gonna say six games, like you. But I could also feel how fans are feeling as far as like not as confident going into this series against Detroit. Obviously, they played us hard all year, and just sort of the way we ended our season doesn't really give us a lot to hang our hat on. But again, I'm a Knicks fan, been a Knicks fan my whole life. So been through the ups, been through the downs, more downs than ups. So who am I to be unappreciative of the fact that we're in the playoffs? So, I'm just excited. I'm just excited just overall. It's a good time to be a New York sports fan for sure.
It's time to believe, and hey, maybe you catch the Mets when they come out there to play the Diamondbacks, and maybe both teams will still be balling out.
Yeah, I will. I'll be there. I got the company suite out here for the game. So for my
nice.
Job that I work at. So yeah, I'm taking a client. He's never been to a baseball game in his life. I'm like, well, we won't be talking that much. So I'll be focused on the game, but enjoy all the free beverages and food and hot food here. So. But it's still before, man. I'm excited. I'm excited for that. I always try to catch them when they come out here for their three or four game series. But yeah, man, it was a pleasure talking to you, Keith. Man, great show, and I'll be tapping in again probably next week or something.
Christian, I appreciate it, bro. So yeah, I was referencing the video that Christian tagged me in online where I was like, "There's a fan running on top of the dugout, people throwing stuff, people high fiving and hugging." And I think Sal Licata put out a tweet. Let me pull it up so I don't read it verbatim, but I saw this after I opened and said what I said. Sal wrote, April has an October feel at Citi Field for the first time in its existence. Now, I can't go that far. I don't know. He's speaking from his own experience in there. But what I said was the Mets are restoring the feeling. And that's hard to do. To restore the feeling that you had in their postseason run last year, it's not a guarantee. The team is different. It has some of the core pieces, but the team is different from last year. You add Juan Soto to this team. It is difficult to restore the feeling right away, but they're 7-1. It's their second walk-off, and fans are showing up to support them like Steve Cohen asked for, and it makes you imagine another run and this team being good, and that's why I started the show, too, saying the Mets are good. We can go ahead and say they're a good team. They've won almost twice as many games as they've lost. They're in first place. We can go ahead and say it. It's not crazy to get ahead of our... They have the second highest payroll in baseball. They're supposed to be good. They have superstar talent, right? The runner-up to the National League MVP just walked off the game, call game for them. Like that, this is what it's supposed to be in New York. And with the Knicks, you know, there's this nervous energy you should have before the playoffs. It's good. It's good. There's this nervous energy you should have before you enter a series that if you don't exit that series with the most wins, your season is done. And, like, that's why it is euphoric when they win. That's why you are even more hype when they make plays. Like, playoff basketball has another level to it. And the Knicks weren't going to the playoffs for years, not consistently. So, I don't know. I would lock in. I would believe. There's no reason not to believe in your team when you get this far. You want them to make a run. And especially with the thoughts of they're going to meet the Celtics and there's no way they could beat the Celtics. Well, then why not enjoy this first round? Why not completely go in and believe that they can win every game that they play against the Pistons and the Pistons can't rock with the Knicks? I think there's enough out there if you want to believe that. You know, now on the other side with the hockey, the Devils and the Hurricanes, obviously the Rangers and Islanders aren't in. Sunday, tomorrow, the Devils will go down to Carolina and face the Hurricanes at 3. I don't know how to feel because I feel like the Devils have limped in to this. I feel like once the Devils clinch, which wasn't even on their own merit, it was kind of like, oh, well, we know who we're facing, we're in. And all you'll hear from people is that they don't have Jack Hughes. Dougie Hamilton is back. I believe in Timo Meier. I believe in Jesper Bratt. I believe in Nico Hischier. I believe in the guys they have on defense and Jacob Markstrom in the goal. It's Stanley Cup playoffs time, and they say that's the best hockey out there. So I'm hoping that the Devils can make it a contest. They'll play Sunday and Tuesday down in Carolina. And then Friday, they'll be home in Newark. And then Sunday, they'll be home in Newark. And I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to swing that. I would love to go. I've never been to a Devils playoff game, and I'm sure I could make the call to get in there. But Friday is Yankee Stadium, the Yankees return, and it's the hockey jersey night. I'm planning on going there. And then Sunday, the game starts at 3, and I may be on the fan Sunday. We'll see. I would love to go see one of those games potentially. And I say that to say this. You can go see these hockey games, right? If you're just a hockey fan and you want to take the train, which the PATH train runs right over there to Newark to Prudential Center, I was reading, at the time of publication, the lowest price that we could find, this is coming from the New York Post, the lowest price we could find on tickets for any one game at Newark's Prudential Center was $63 before fees on Vivid Seats. And if you want to go all the way down to Raleigh, $67. So for playoff hockey, Hurricanes, Devs, you can get in there for under $100. If you're just a hockey fan and you want to go see some, you know, high-level puck, they're affordable. They're affordable. All right, we're already at 1:30. I see my guy Mark in California, who's a consistent caller, Sean in Stony Point. We will get to you guys next in that order. Keith McPherson on the fan. This is my last run coming up, so let's take this break. Last call for calls. Dial 888-808-1019 if you'd like to talk to me. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back. Keith McPherson, your nighttime host, just talking and talk. Jack, do you know if it's Hoff coming up next, or is it Al? I don't know. I got to check the schedule.
It is Pete Hoffman, yeah.
Okay, Hoff is still, yeah, because it's Friday. Hoff is still doing his Friday show. I think Al will have tomorrow night.
Yeah, it's Al tomorrow night, and then he's on after like Yankees, the Knicks. And
yeah, he's on after the Yankee game, and he'll be on during the Knicks game, or at least the end of the Knicks game. So that'll be interesting to get the reaction of the fans after the first one. Okay. You know the number to dial. I said I was going to go to my guy Mark in California first, then Sean, then Devin, so let's go in that order. Last call for calls. What's up, Mark? You got it.
What's going on? Multitude of stuff we got to talk about. You know, I mean, we also got to talk about, which no one's talking about, Artemi Panarin sexual assault allegations is like absolutely
no,
disgusting.
We don't got to talk about that.
Yeah, it's so messed up, bro. And like, listen, like, I mean, the dude's a star. He's the best Ranger signing in franchise history, right? It's like, he's not even close. Dude's about to hit 90 points. I think he's a hat trick away from getting 40 consecutive goals, right? Two straight seasons. It's crazy. But they need to trade him. You're done, dude. Like, this organization is going to clean house with Laviolette and with Drury, who I'm not a big Drury fan, but that's neither here nor there. That's happening. I had no idea Sal Licata, who I'm not going to bash him on your show because I'm not a big fan of him at all, but he came out, and I'm just like, dude, you're talking so much smack about Soto, bro, and I'm getting so sick and tired of it already. Like, I saw a meme on Twitter, Keith, about, like, how supposedly he misses Yankee fans and stuff, and, like, Judge doesn't miss him because he's batting 381, and I was like, dude, what the heck, bro? And it was coming from a Yankee fan. I'm like, dude, you guys just can't keep Soto's name out of your guys' mouth, bro. It's like, focus on
it is,
our team.
Soto leaving the Yankees, going to the Mets, is such a big cog in this whole machine. It is overplayed and annoying. Yeah. Shout out to Sal. Like I said about Sal. Sal is a fan. He's also a professional. Yeah. He says a lot of things, but he gets clipped, and these clips go viral almost. So that's successful to be able to, you know, have a clip of you screaming about something gets viewed by thousands
Soto
of people.
Was 0-5. Yeah, he was 0-5, and Sal was freaking out about being 0-5, and then a whole bunch of fans on Twitter were like,
but again, the Soto struggle is temporary, and like, people have blown things out of proportion with the guy. Andy Martino weeks ago said he got a report that Juan Soto missed the Yankees. I'm like, I'll believe it when I hear the audio. And then Mike Puma talked to him, and he said, well, it was different when I had the best hitter in the world behind me. And that got blown up, and on top of him grounding out and striking out and not coming in with coming up big with runners in scoring position, it's not a good look. But you know what is a good look? The Mets finding ways to win despite that.
Yeah. They got a great team. They're going to win 90, 95 games. Yankees are going to win 80, 90 games as well. But and us Yankee fans have seen it for years. Judge struggles. Judge right now should be batting like 230, right? And he's not. He's hitting. Because he's very slow at hitting in the start of the season, so we're used to that. And Yankee fans even kill Judge, and it's crazy. You're gonna kill your
best. I remember last year
because he started.
I was in the stadium last year against the Tigers when he got ejected, and then the next day I'm like, okay, he's gonna homer because he got ejected on some nonsense. But fans were ready to. I'm like, this is the captain. This is the MVP. The AL. Home run king, you guys are crazy, but it's the Bronx cheer for a reason.
Yeah, he's the best hitter we've ever seen in the history of the game. It's not even close. But what's crazy about it is last season, and remember when he just hit his last homer, he did homer for 10 straight games, bro. And no one was talking about it, but in those 10 games, he got 7 ribbies. So he's contributing, but he's not
smacking
the ball.
Yeah, and he was hitting singles, and his average was up. He was batting 400.
That's it, you know. But there was last season where I remember where he went like 16 games without a homer. And then literally in like 20 games, he hit like 13 jacks.
Everyone was like, they blamed the show Paw Patrol. My son watches that. And at that time, my son wasn't watching that type of stuff. They called it the Paw Patrol curse because Judge popped up in an episode of a show for toddlers. And once that went live, Judge didn't homer for, like you said, like the 16 games in the summer. And people were like, it's because of Paw Patrol. Yeah, no. It's a Paw Patrol curse. I'm like, these are fans. And fan is short for fanatics. They are fanatical. It is ridiculous.
People are going absolutely crazy. And then the one year, I think the year, what was it? I think 2 years ago, he hit like 40-something, but he missed like almost like half the game. So I'm like, could you imagine? If he would have played the full game, he would have hit 60 again, or at least 50-something again.
That's just who he is. Like, yeah, I was at the game that year where he hit 3-in-1 game, and we just were like, this guy hits homers and just hits at a ridiculous pace. He's 1-of-1.
And the more the Yankees get to the playoffs, it's going to happen, bro. He's gonna get his in the playoffs, trust me. It's like, you know what I mean? Everyone's grilling him for like not having that great postseason resume, not hitting in the playoffs, but I can name a bunch of players that haven't hit in the playoffs and still are in the Hall of Fame. It's like, there's a bunch of players like that, but it contributes to their legacy. Obviously, Jeter did very well in the playoffs, but still, his defense is elite. He's hitting the ball. It's going to work out, but these Knicks, man, before I let you go, these Knicks are crazy, and here's the thing, Keith, for all these Knicks fans, because you're going to hear it from me, because I'm the biggest Knicks fan you'll ever meet in your entire life, like Jack Nicholson, man, like the Lakers. I'm going crazy, right? Like, Jack's the biggest Laker fan, the biggest Knicks fan. They need to blow these dudes out. They should blow these guys out. They should blow them out. It shouldn't be close. And if it is close, it's all on Tibbs, bro. It's all on Tibbs. Because this roster is leaps and bounds better than Detroit. It really is. Like, the only thing that's better on Detroit is their bench. That's it. But you're not going to, I'm hearing on Twitter, people are like, well, you need to put Brunson on Cade. Cade will destroy Brunson. You see how big he is?
Yeah.
Brunson can't guard Cade. It doesn't make any sense, bro.
Cade is a monster. He's got the size advantage by a lot.
Absolutely. Mikal Bridges gets destroyed when, obviously, Cade guards him. You saw that
it's
in the last game.
So now you're OG, see OG, you got to put on him.
Guess what? We haven't seen OG on him. The two games they won, it was without OG, and they only won by 6 points. And then the other game was without Carl. So, obviously, it could be 3-1 Knicks. But this team, leaps and bounds, bro, is obviously better. You got Mitchell healthy. You're going to see the two big rotation. You're going to see Jalen Duran and Karl Anthony Towns. You know what I mean? Isaiah Stewart, he's a guy that kind of scrappy. I could care less about Malik Beasley. He's going to get his, whatever. But it should be a blowout, dude. It really shouldn't be close, in my opinion. I mean, you got Cade. I get it. But everyone's comparing these Knicks to when they played Atlanta. Because remember, everyone was like, Knicks are going to destroy Atlanta. And then Trey just took over. Everyone's saying Cade could do the same thing. But come on, you got Brunson, though. It's a little different, bro. We didn't have him back then. We had Julius Randle, who shot like 30%.
Yeah, right, you also didn't have Karl Anthony Towns. You didn't have OG. Right. Like, they're going to score. I don't know if they're going to blow them out, Mark, but they're going to score a lot of points. Thanks for the call. 888-808-1019. The over-under is set at 220. I'm taking the over. So when you talk about Jalen Brunson guarding Cade Cunningham, I don't know who's talking about put Jalen Brunson on Cade Cunningham. That's barbecue chicken. I'm sending two guys at Cunningham a lot. And then OG at him, not the whole time, because you want to kind of keep OG down low too. You know, you put OG on the ball, that changes things. But, like, I look at this Knicks team and their ability to score. They have to be efficient and they have to hit shots and they have to outscore them. They have so many guys that can score the ball and, like, dominant scorers in Brunson, in Karl Anthony Towns. And we saw OG when called upon to score. He's got to have some of that in his game too. Mikal Bridges has to have that mid-range jumper and knocking down quarter and threes along with OG knocking down corner threes in his game too. And Josh Hart, if they leave you wide open, you got to knock down some shots, some layups. But also, you got to be there as a secondary passer, right? They pass you the ball, look for the open man. Somebody's going to be open. 888-808-1019. Sean in Stony Point, thanks for holding. You're live.
Keith, what's up, man? How you been?
I'm good.
So you were talking about like Soto and the struggle at the start of the season, right? And I had a realization a couple of days ago. People who talk like that and like the throwing the garbage and all this, they're, you know, they're baseball fans, but they're so far removed from the game of playing baseball that they lost respect for the game.
Yeah, or maybe they never played, or maybe they really just don't get it. They're looking at it like they've looked at other sports, and I hear this a lot, like, you know, how football, there's, you know, 17 games, and it's so immediate and do or die. Like, baseball is just not like that. Go on.
And so, like, it transitioned to a new team. Like, give him a second.
Yeah, how about the Mets fans booing Juan Soto, though?
It just sounds dumb. Like, they cheered him tonight, and it worked. Even I was reading the article. Lindor was talking about, you know, the crowd embracing Soto. I love that. He's going to be with us for a very long time. He's a fantastic player. Yada yada yada. They booed Lindor too. A lot of Mets fans were talking about Lindor's contract.
Anyone in New York? Well, not even New York, Philly, Boston. They'll boo. It's disgusting.
I said earlier in the show we make so much about boos
from playing. That they'll boo because, like, yo, you're not even close to that field. You can't even lace their cleats up, you know?
Yeah, you just have no idea what it takes to hit that ball, to catch that ball, to be out there. These guys are a small percentage of the population that can do this on a night-to-night basis.
And on that level, Jairus, you could pump a ball, sure. But I still play. That's why I can still talk. I won two back-to-back championships with my men's league. So
count it, bro. Count it, bro. At least you can relate. Like, so you're not going there booing because you know it's hard to do.
I'm watching baseball. So I got some cool stories for you. My coach in high school, he came up to the minors, and you were talking earlier about, like, you don't know, like, the old school Mets and, like, you know, those things. There was a guy in the Mets, Ty Wigginton, and he came up with him through the minors on the Red Sox. And he said, like, this guy would map out parks at the games because he couldn't stay in hotels. He had to sleep in parks, and he made it to the majors. And then he said another time he was down in Dominican, the Red Sox minor league team played a series down there. So they went out, and they were with Poppy, but someone they're in Dominican Republic, and someone comes up on them, tried to rob them, and Poppy just lifted his shirt a little bit, showed something, and they were like, okay. And that was this was when Poppy was in the minors with the Red Sox.
Yeah, yeah. And we all remember when Ortiz got shot. And he survived that. I actually was in the club with Ortiz and Albert Pujols during the All-Star Game in L.A. in 2023.
Really?
I was. So they had a party in L.A. was one of the best spots to have the All-Star Game. They had a party at this club. They had bottle service. I knew some people in there to get through the door. The next thing you know, I weaseled my way into their section. I had a video on my Instagram story, all that. Albert Pujols wasn't drinking or doing anything, but Poppy is the man. Poppy's table had bottles and a lot of randoms. And, yeah, it was cool. It's cool to see guys like that you've watched play forever in that, like, environment. It just breaks the wall down completely for you.
I have some cool stories about Paul Pierce and my buddy.
Paul Pierce is a wild boy. That's why they call him the truth. Thanks for the call, Sean. 888-808-1019. Yeah, you know, that's another thing, too, with these players. They work so hard to get out of the minor leagues, and they work so hard to get up to the level where they're making the money, and then they're greeted with just skepticism and negativity and boos. And I guess that's why they say, they pay them the big bucks. They got to be big boys. They got to deal with it. But it's like, man, you make it to the show after, riding buses and sleeping in hotels and struggling and playing in front of nobody. Then when you finally do get in front of a lot of people, they're expecting you to be automatic all the time. You get booed. It's crazy. I could not imagine being a professional athlete. I wasn't that good. I got a ton of respect for these guys. I know how hard it is. I really don't know how hard it is. I can only imagine how hard it is to be great like that on a consistent basis. That's why someone like Juan Soto, I'm like, this whole week, I'm like, I'm laughing at this, not for nothing. Like, he's struggling for now. I'm loving it as a Yankee fan because he left us to go across town. But I just know it's not going to last. I know it's not going to last. And I know you're absolutely crazy if you're, like, you can't police fans, but I think you're crazy if you go to the stadium and you're booing a guy like Juan Soto because he's striking out. This guy, he's in the first 20 games of a 15-year career. You call yourself a Met fan?
We got a long way to go.
Yeah, you call yourself a Met fan, jumping the gun that fast? Like this guy is going to help your team win for the next decade and a half. Like, if you're a 25-year-old Met fan, this guy's going to help you have good times until you're 40.
Yeah, 25-year-old Met fan right here.
I didn't even know that. Like, I didn't know that was your age.
I'll be 40 when he basically... His contract is up, so it's crazy. Now, I can't stand that booing Juan Soto. I get it. We signed him into a huge contract, $800 million. You want him to have success right away, but come on, dude, it's first 20 games.
What does that do?
It does nothing. Booing him, that's going to give him confidence to keep coming to City Field?
Some people think it's reverse psychology. Like, I had a caller that was out in Sacramento who said, I'm going to wear my Juan Soto jersey to the game, and I'm going to boo him and hope to, get under his skin to motivate him. And I'm like...
That doesn't make any sense.
Nah, I'm like, hey, do what you got to do. But he's not looking right now like he needs that. He looks like he's in a bad one right now, and he's pressing, and he's not shuffling, and he's not doing their little, hit celebration. Yeah, he's not even cracking a smile. Baseball's supposed to be fun.
No, he's... I think... What his teammates are doing, like Lindor and Mendoza, obviously the manager, is like, look, like, just be you, keep doing what you're doing, you're a great player, you're an awesome talent, just relax and have fun playing baseball. And I think that's helping him. But yeah, positive reinforcement. He gets cheered, he's gonna respond. You boo him, he's a human being. He's not like...
And he's when it does warm up,
right,
and he does get going, he's going to win games for them on his own.
No doubt.
And he's not going to be looking at the fans like, well, cheer me now. I said about the Mets, and this will lead us into Devin's call. I'm like, with Soto getting all of the – they're winning. They're not losing. But
they're
with
first
Soto,
place.
With Soto getting all of the attention and the negativity, I think it helped guys like Mark Vientos, because Mark Vientos was struggling.
Yeah.
And Brett Beatty. I'm like, look at these two guys get unlocked, and they could kind of stew in their, you know, negative performance and not get all of the shrapnel. And, like, everybody's always looking for a whipping boy. No matter who it is, there's somebody, even the Yankee fans, got to figure, oh, Devin Williams, you know, demote him. Like, they got to find somebody to be mad at. But Juan Soto being the highest paid player and the highest profile player and struggling, I think it took some of the attention off of Vientos and Beatty, and now it looks like those two guys are unlocked. Let's go to Devin in Long Beach on the fan. Go for it, Devin.
What's up? How you doing?
Yep. Good. How are you?
I'm loving this narrative. Just this, it's so pathetic to show up to the ballpark and just throw out booze and just rip on these guys. I mean, LGM, I got a tattooed on me, and I'm thinking about how I remember Lindor, you know, in the middle, or, you know, just before he busted out last year. I think it was like trending, like when the Mets come back from this road trip, we gotta give Lindor a standing out. And I saw the same thing today for Soto. And I mean, how amazing is it that we have him? And freaking Diaz, especially the bullpen, like, we cannot. It's New York is the freaking toughest market for anyone to be in, and you certainly got to have it to be here. But as fans, we don't have to make it any more difficult. And in fact, the way that we've run into these stadiums, the way that the Garden fills up, and New York Knicks fans travel and Mets fans travel, God, like, imagine if we just had brought the power of positivity with those guys. But even the infield, I'd say the infield is like one of the two only things I've seen this year so far. And I'm not even going to pick on it too much, because I know what we have in Lindor, Cunha, and all those guys. But
yeah, a couple errors from Lindor were costly, but you know that he's going to be Gold Glove MVP. And he just won a game for you tonight. Thanks for the call, Devin. Yeah, it's funny, right? What a week. You know, all of the talk, and it doesn't matter. Juan Soto probably hit a homer in this next game, and hopefully this will all be behind us. But, you know, that's how we are here in New York, right? We eat our own. Hopefully you guys aren't in there booing the Knicks if they struggle later on tonight. All right, Met fans, here comes Big Show Bob. I saw Pete Hoffman on the screen at Citi Field. I saw him on SNY. Yup, it wasn't Sean Morash. Coming your way next is Pete Hoffman on the fan. Keep it locked right here. Everybody have a good night. Good night.
Sports Radio 101.9.